Welcome to the latest installment of One Morning I'm Going Home and Going to Bed. Justin Vargo here with Josh Jones. Recording this episode on Thursday, December the 13th. And Josh, you want to explain the drinking situation tonight?
Well, the plan was, since this is the end of the real grill era, which we're going to discuss in a little bit, that we would drink 40s and pour a little bit out for the loss of Weird Greer. So let's go ahead and pour that out there. So, there's a problem with that. Apparently in the trans metro area of Oak Hill, Fayetteville, they don't sell 40s anymore.
Well, they do. Because I stopped at Mountaineer Mart today on my way back. And I said, okay, I'm going to go in here and get a 40. Mm-hmm. And I walked in. And Mountaineer Mart obviously is not a very big gas station.
No.
So, I go over to the beer section. And I'm sizing it up. And I'm looking, and I see the big bottles up top, and I'm starting looking down, and I see some 40s at the bottom. Natural ice.
Yeah, no.
I went to reach for it, and my hand wouldn't grab it.
No.
So instead, I grabbed two deuces of Bud Light.
Oh, just thinking about natural ice just makes me nauseous. I remember drinking that in college, and literally, it was like instant headache.
Yeah.
You couldn't finish one, and you would have a headache, and that was a 12-ounce can. I couldn't imagine a whole 40 of it.
I looked at it, and I just shook my head.
I remember one time. We were playing cards at Virginia Tech and George Gannon. We were staying at Potter, my buddy Mike Potter's friends. And George Gannon had some St. Ides. And we were playing asshole when he was playing with St. Ides. He kept calling it ass-flavored water. That's pretty good description of it. Mm-hmm. Also, one of the greatest games of asshole ever played.
Good one.
Oh, yeah. It was one of our best. I remember I made a rule where if you had a pass, you were the butt end of a waterfall. And that, everybody would break up their doubles because nobody wanted to be the butt end of the waterfall. Man, we got so drunk.
It's never a good situation. No. Buddy. You're the ass end of a waterfall. Asshole's an underrated card game.
That's a college staple.
Mm-hmm.
It was a college staple. And then I was not a very nice president.
I have no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. Speaking of staples, we talked about the Mount Rushmore of Christmas movies last week, and we got the Christmas Story playing right now.
Mm-hmm. My dad's going to be upset about that.
Why's that?
Because it was on the other night. I forget what night it was. He texted me. He's like, are you watching The Christmas Story? And I was like, no. I was like, I don't watch it until Christmas Eve, 8 o'clock. I was like, that's me and my mom's tradition. And now it's me and my little sister's tradition. 8 o'clock, we don't watch it until then.
You want me to turn it off?
Oh, no. We got on silence. Not like I'm sitting, even though I probably will mouth some of the words on some of the things that's happening. But I'm just gonna, if I didn't mention that, Dad's going to say, hey, I thought you said don't watch Christmas Story, don't go Christmas Eve.
Okay. Sorry, Lon, that's my fault. And by the way, we quote a lot of Christmas movies. One of the opening lines of this one, where he says the Red Rider is the holy grail of Christmas gifts, that's fantastic.
The tapestry?
He wove a tapestry of obscenities that to this day is still hanging above Lake Michigan.
The writing in this is excellent. I actually read the book, too, and it's really good. It's just a fantastic movie. It's definitely one of my favorites. Like I said, it's on Mount Rushmore.
It's on Mount Rushmore. Yeah. So that's what's going on tonight. We got no 40s, and we got Christmas Story.
Have double deuces.
We do.
Yeah, you're drinking the Bud Light, and I went with the Champagne, the Miller High Life. I figured it's 40-esque.
You're a little overdressed to be drinking that, too, by the way. Got the jeans and a little pullover going there. Way overdressed to be drinking that.
Yeah, I got a kind of funny look at the liquor store. Well, I ended up going to Comac. Well, I went to like three places. I went to Sheets. They didn't have any. Went to the Comac liquor store. They didn't have any.
Is that when you finally texted me?
So I went to the gas station right next to the crappy gas station.
Could have gone to Mountaineer Mart, man. I got natural ice.
Oh. I wouldn't have made it through a segment. No. I literally would have just had to leave.
Yeah.
I'm like, Josh, where you going? I'm out.
I'm out.
See ya.
Checking out. So that's what's going on. So we'll, let's jump into the, I guess we'll start with the Heisman.
Yep.
So Murray won, which I think you and I both agree that was.
I thought all year, up to the last game, I said they were giving it to Tua, but the way the year panned out with Kyler Murray's last two games against us and against Texas, and then Tua's last two games when he struggled mightily, and in fact wasn't even on the field when they came back and won the game against Georgia, I think still did it for Kyler Murray, and I think it also hurt Will Greer. Not playing that last weekend. If you look at these stats here, you know, only 12% of the votes were in before this weekend.
Which really helped Murray, too.
I think it's one reason why he won. In fact, but I don't understand why they let people vote early.
Why would you vote
why
early?
Would you not vote until the end of the year?
They were talking about that on College Sports when I took Jaina back this weekend. I was coming back listening to it. And they put the question out there. They said, anybody who has a Heisman vote, please call in and explain to me why you would vote early.
Exactly. In fact, I think they should even wait until after the bowl season. They said if they would have waited after the bowl season, Pat White might have been the Heisman winner.
Probably.
I mean, he was the best player in college football that year. If we beat Oklahoma,
yep.
There was no doubt in my mind.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but not playing last weekend really hurt Will Greer because the first place votes, I mean, most of them went to Kyler Murray or Tua, who, by the way, even the Heisman announcer got Tua's name wrong.
Did he really?
He pronounced it wrong. That's not a good look. Mm-mm. But Haskins, he got 423 third-place votes compared to 84 Will Greer and 74 for Gardner Minshew, who ended up being fourth and fifth.
Yeah.
But if he plays that weekend, especially if he plays Oklahoma, and he gets a lot of those votes that Haskins got for third place.
Probably so.
Yeah, but, you know, Kyler Murray might not win it because beating us twice in a row is not the same as beating us and beating Texas.
That's
as much
point.
As we like the, yeah. Yeah, much as we're a better team than Texas this year, we proved it on the field.
Yeah.
The people around the country don't think that way.
So I thought the best player overall won it.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think that's right.
And Greer finishing fourth. I guess that's the highest since Major was in 89.
No, I think didn't they say Steve Slayton finished fourth?
Well, but Major finished third.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Slayton finished fourth.
Yeah. It's the good and the bad. You know, he ended up fourth in the Heisman, second team all.
Second team all Big 12. Fourth in the Heisman, second team Big 12. That's a tough deal.
Well, you know, I mean, what do you do? I mean, Kyler Murray was the best player in college football without a doubt. I mean,
well, you counted for 51 touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, the guy who.
And he had, as bad as Oklahoma's defense was, every time he took the field, he had to score.
Yeah. And was it the first time ever the same team produced a back-to-back Heisman Trophy? I think it was.
That wasn't a back-to-back winner like when Archie Griffin won.
Right, exactly. And it was the same position, too, which is weird. Yeah. I mean,
it's a nice resume builder for Lincoln Riley.
Yeah, I think he's going to – I won't be surprised he's in pro somewhere along the line here for soon.
Well, they were talking about him going to Dallas, but, hell, Dallas is winning now.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course, we'll see what they do. So, all right, so we're talking about Greer. We got to get into the bowl game stuff.
Yeah.
So, he's officially out, him and Kajust. It looks like there's – last count I saw, there's 12 guys sitting out.
Yeah.
Bowl games. Power 5 guys. Greer's the first major quarterback to sit out a bowl game.
In
history. And I know we talked last week, and I think you and I are probably on different ends of the spectrum on this, but I don't think I completely understand why he's not playing in the bowl game. I do.
Yeah.
And I get that. And I don't know if it's a definite going to happen, but from when I saw that he was going to play in the Senior Bowl, I said I have a problem with that, and I do have a problem with that. And I didn't realize this, and I don't know how many people you've talked to, but in the office last week, I had to climb up on a soapbox and defend him because I was getting killed because, I mean, they were pissed.
Then they're really not going to like me because I won't defend him.
They were pissed that he wasn't playing. I mean, almost everybody I talked to, Booth and I went to Elliott's Tuesday night, and I talked to probably 7 or 8 Mountaineer fans out there. They were pissed that he wasn't playing in a bowl game. Not even talking about the Senior Bowl. Just not even playing in a bowl game, which that part I get. I get that he's not playing. Playing in the Senior Bowl, I have an issue with that. I do.
So you're with Doug Smock.
Don't you ever compare me to Doug Smock.
What does he say?
It's not Doug Smock, it's Doug Schmuck.
Exactly. Look, I understand. I'm disappointed he's not playing. I mean, how can you not? Who did not want to see him play in that game? I mean, I want to see him play.
Oh, I want to see him play.
Everybody wants to see him play.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't fault him for not playing. I'm not mad at him for not playing.
I'm not either.
It's a useless bowl game. If it was so great for everybody who's upset about it, I hope they return their tickets. Wait, I bet you they're not returning their tickets because they probably didn't buy them in the first place.
Oh, nobody's going.
Yeah. So I mean, if you're so invested, he said, and it's for the team, you should play with this team. You should support the team. Well, then how come you're not buying tickets to go to the bowl game?
Well,
because it's the freaking Camping Bowl, and nobody wants to go to it.
Which I get. No, I get that. And by the way, the Alamo Bowl got it right, picking Iowa State. Because Iowa State's wearing Washington State's ass out in tickets.
Yeah, yeah, they did. I mean, and there was apparently an article about all the reasons why, and it was like they did their homework of how W fans, the apathy W fans have now towards going to the bowl games and even their season ticket sales. They did their homework.
Yeah.
And it's a bad reflection on W and W fans as opposed to anything else.
And it's probably about a 60-40 split. For the guys on Rivals as far as being upset that he's not playing in the bowl game versus that, which to me is a whole separate argument, not playing in the bowl game and then playing in the Senior Bowl.
Well, because it's been actually, for surprisingly, they talked more about us this week on all the other college football shows than they have all season. And it's because Will Greer's not playing. Most scouts prefer him not to play.
In the bowl game?
In the bowl game. Because they already have enough film on them. They don't need a useless game against Syracuse. They don't need that film.
Which I'm good with that. Yeah, so why would he play in the Senior Bowl?
The Senior Bowl is not about the game. It's all – and plus, you realize, you know, people think, well, you could get hurt there too just as opposed to Syracuse. Well, let's forget we're not – nobody's mad at Kajus for skipping the Senior Bowl. Nobody's mad at offense coordinator.
Spavadol
for skipping.
I think most people are glad.
Exactly. So it's just there.
Well, there's a different standard for coaches and players, which is not fair.
It's not fair. That's exactly right. It's not fair. It's not fair for
the biggest issue that I have is the fact that he's getting ready for the NFL. He's going to go down to the Senior Bowl. They're going to have scouts are going to be there. I get all that.
There's
scouts at every game he plays.
Yeah, but not as many as Senior Bowl. And there's a reason why it's big to get an invite to the Senior Bowl. I mean, there's a reason why people want to get an invite to the Senior Bowl. It's a week audition. It's not the game. It's the week audition. You have meetings all week with coaches. They run through you to different stats. You get all your interviews done through that week. I mean, they see you in practice, see you how you handle practice. The game doesn't matter. In fact, he might not even play in the game. Last year, Baker Mayfield went to the Senior Bowl and didn't play in the game.
Well, if he doesn't play, I'm fine with
it. There's talk about he might not do
the
game.
My response to that was, what's the point of the NFL Combine?
But the Combine's a joke. And that's why coaches prefer the Senior Bowl than the Combine. The Combine's just a number set.
But here's the
especially
other thing.
For quarterbacks.
But here's the other thing, too.
Who cares how fast he runs in the 40?
There's no – he's going to do his interviews and all that. And he's going to check all the boxes in the interviews. My biggest thing is the NFL draft in May or April, whenever it is, there's going to be 32 guys drafted in the first round. I'd say probably 25 of them are going to be underclassmen.
Yeah, probably so.
They're not playing in the Senior Bowl. So it's not really going to – I don't think that's going to be a make or break for him as far as where his draft stock is.
Yeah, I think it will. Because right now, Todd McShay and them, they have him as a second or third rounder. He goes and presses at the Senior Bowl practices at the whiteboard, which I think is what's going to make a difference. The reason why Geno Smith dropped the second round, he was terrible at the whiteboard.
Well, he's ahead up here.
Exactly. And Will Greer's not going to be that way. He's going to impress those guys. I wouldn't be surprised if he moves up. And the same people bitching about him – not being there, like, I can't be letting down Mountaineer, or the same people going to be rooting for him next year on Sundays.
Well, I'm going to root for him.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to root for him. It's just my whole thing is...
I understand being disappointed, but I'm not mad at him.
Well, I'm not mad at him. And I said last week, I understand why he's not playing. I just personally, and again, right or wrong, personally, I don't like the fact that he's sitting out the bowl game to... focus on his health or whatever. I don't even know if he actually came out and said
that. No, he said he's prepared for the NFL
draft. So if he doesn't play a snap in the Senior Bowl, that's fine. Whatever.
But the Senior Bowl is prepared for the NFL. The Camping Bowl is not. 3 more weeks of practice with WVU's team is not helping him prepare for the NFL.
Well, but the other thing is, too, though, in the Senior Bowl, it's controlled. They're probably not hitting the quarterback. They're probably
They're not even allowed to blitz in the game.
Right, so how can you get a good assessment of what you're doing in a real game if they're...
That's why the game doesn't matter.
I guess that's my point, is if they're saying he's
going
to... It's
the practices.
Because of the scouts. Well, but I mean, practice and games, to me, is two different things. Because if he's down there and if it's a live game situation and you know, they're blitzing this and that, I can see that. I just don't see how... In that week that he's down there, those scouts are going to have this revelation of, oh, wow, Look what he's doing when they're not blitzing. They're not hitting him.
Yeah, but see, what they do is they put him through NFL drills during that week.
Well, they
kind of throw it, you know, they do some of those passes for an hour and a half on TV. But this is a whole week of putting him through NFL-like drills for an entire week. It's a completely different ballgame this senior. The game doesn't matter. And that's why in the Camping Bowl, no scouts are doing at the practice. They're not coming out hanging out at the practice. They're going to watch. They're not even going to the Camping Bowl. They're going to watch it on film.
Right.
That has nothing to do with. They're going to be at practice all week watching him, how he goes through the NFL drills.
I guess in my mind, I'm thinking practice versus live game. I think he's put together enough body of work on film, playing defenses that are coming after him, blitzing, reading coverages. I think he's done enough of that in the 11 regular season games he's played that a week of practice at the Senior Bowl, I don't think that's going to change much for him. Plus, the other thing, too, that hurts him.
I think it's going to help him. I don't think it's going to hurt him.
Well, but I don't
unless know, he just plays poorly.
But I guess in my mind, I don't see how it helps him. I don't see how he's going to improve. And the other thing, too, is that
it improves from a second to a first rounder, it's a big improvement.
Well, but Kuiper, I don't know how much credence you can put into him. He's got Greer fifth.
Yeah.
He's got Locke. He's got Finley. He's got Daniel Jones from Duke, I think, and Justin Herbert from Oregon. And those two guys are both juniors.
And if Hassan comes out, he's probably going to be a first-rounder too.
Every one of those guys is playing in their bowl game.
Yeah, but let's compare to what some of those games are compared to what we're playing in.
Well, Oregon's game's terrible. They're playing in the Las
Vegas. Yeah, but he's also an underclassman. I mean, he can't go to the Senior Bowl to prove the scouts or anything.
No, him and Jones, which I don't know if Jones, I don't know anything about him.
No, yeah.
Now Locke from Missouri, I don't know why he's playing against Oklahoma State. I don't know what he's going to prove in that game.
No, I don't either.
Finley, I was really surprised Finley's playing.
I was shocked because I heard he wasn't going to play.
Well, I checked today the list of the players that, and again, there was two guys from NC State on that list that aren't playing.
Yeah.
One of them's a receiver. And I think the other one's a defensive player. I can't remember. They're not playing. But in any event, I don't like it. I mean, I understand why he's not playing in a bowl game. When I saw that he wasn't playing in a bowl game, he's going to play in a Senior Bowl. It just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But
yeah,
it is what it is. The bigger problem with this whole thing is the fact that the playoffs have encouraged this.
Oh, yeah. I think the whole bowl setup now is encouraging. It's really, you know, it used to be a reward to go to the bowl game. A bowl game was, you know, that's what happened to WVU. That's why we got apathy now, because we went to a couple of the BCS games, and now when we don't get the BCS game,
everybody's like,
nobody wants to go.
Listen,
Charlotte, which are our Big 12 tie-ins now, are going to be that close.
There's 130 teams in Division I. 80 of them.
Yeah,
make a bowl game. That's 62%.
It's ridiculous.
If you compare that to basketball, there's 351 Division I teams in basketball. If you just count the NCAA tournament, 68 teams make it. That's 19%. If you throw the NIT in, which I guess you got to throw the NIT in, it jumps up to 28%. So 28% of the basketball teams get rewarded for a good season, and 62% of the football season. Everybody talks about, well, we can't expand a playoff because regular season doesn't matter. It's not mattering now.
Exactly. And you know why? TV. Because what time is our game?
It's 5:15
on a Friday evening. And guess what? We're going to have better ratings than their normal show of Highly Questionable or Part of the Interruption.
Yep.
During those hours, we're going to get better ratings than those shows, and as long as that happens, they're going to continue to have 40 ball games.
Did you see what Nick Saban said this week? Lord Saban, we need to get the Star Wars Empire or Darth Vader music playing. Remember we talking about Saban, Lord Saban, Emperor Saban. He basically came out and said, "I told you guys this was going to happen 4 or 5 years ago." He said, "You go to the playoff, you start diminishing the bowl games, and a lot of these players are going to start saying, you know what, I'm not playing."
Yeah.
And there's two sides to the coin. I mean, McCaffrey and Fournette skipped their bowl games a couple years ago, didn't affect their draft stock at all. Jalen Smith from Notre Dame played in the bowl game against Ohio State, blew his knee out. He was still a first-round pick, and now he's one of the best defensive players in the NFL.
Yep.
So, I mean, it goes both ways, but there's way too many bowl games. Way too many. And the good thing, I think, right now is the fact that the Big Ten has gotten left out 2 years in a row, is I think that the conversation, I hope, will start to at least go to eight teams.
Yeah, I think that's inevitable. I think it's gonna get to that point, which would be great because of course, but there's still gonna be too many bowl games, and if you're not in that eight, you're not gonna care about your
bowl
game.
And then cut some of these other Tudor's Biscuit World Bowls out of
here.
They're
not, as long as people watch them, and that's we have our bowl pool every year. So guess what? We're gonna be doing when those bowl games are on. We're gonna watch, see who wins.
I'm probably not gonna watch Saturday. There's a lot of shitty games Saturday.
I'll be in Charleston anyway, shopping with the family.
There's a lot of bad games Saturday, so I'm not gonna do it. But yeah, something needs to happen because
it's the way it's going, man.
It's just gonna keep going that way.
Exactly right.
It's just gonna keep going that way. So the Jack Allison era will begin.
Yeah,
we'll begin.
Yeah, we can. I guess we probably do a bowl prep next weekend. Next week we'll do a.
We could do it next week or the week after because technically we'll be still.
Yeah, that's right. Yet. That's right. So we'll do a little bowl preview. But I'm excited. I think it'd be good to see him and see if they do anything with Trey Lowe.
That's gonna be the key.
That'll be interesting.
I'll
to see
be
if
real
do
curious
to
see if they
anything.
Put anything for Lowe. Yeah. And it sounds like Jennings and Sills are both going to play.
It sounds like we're not going to miss two. Yeah. Justin Greer. Sounds like everybody else is playing.
He's going to have a full complement of weapons.
Exactly right.
So we'll see.
Yep, we can see what we got.
See what happens. So you want to take a break, and then we'll hit into some recruiting stuff.
That sounds good. Welcome back to One More. I'm going home and going to bed. Now we got a little bit of our – that segment way longer than we thought it was going to.
Way longer. Literally
I wanted to bring up.
That was the shortest page of all three of my note pages here.
Well, we want to get into a little bit of looking towards next year, and it starts with recruiting. So I said before we started, you're going to have to carry the water on this one because, you know, I don't follow Rivals or the Blue and Gold News anymore, so I'm not on the message board, so I don't know all the insights outside of what a little bit I know from Twitter and a little bit of what I've read. So.
Well, kick back and let me broaden your horizon.
Do it. Let me sit back. Give me my 40 and
say, get your 40.
My double deuce.
You need a pipe.
I do.
You need a pipe. So early, for those of you that don't know, signing day is usually the first Wednesday in February. And last year, well, actually, I guess 2 years ago, they passed the rule to where you can have an early signing period in December. So, early signing period is next Wednesday.
Right. Now, let me ask you a question before you go any further. Do you like it or not? Because the Sunday in February used to be a big deal.
It's lost its luster.
I remember sitting in the morning and having my computer work.
Keep hitting refresh.
Yeah, just to see what recruits for stuff came in.
It's the level of excitement has gone out of it because there's an earlier period to do it.
Yeah.
So, no, it's not as exciting as it used to be.
No.
The one thing I do like about it is when you're dealing with 17, 18-year-old kids that have a hard time making up their mind.
Yeah, you're not spending a month and a half trying to hold on what you have.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's a plus. So real quick, going to run through the list of commitments that we've got right now, and we'll talk a little bit about some guys we've lost and some guys we've got on the radar. We've got 15 commits so far for this class. It sounds like we're going to take 23.
Well, I think apparently there's a new rule. Like, it's a hard 25.
Yeah.
So it's you can't have and people you took in at the end of last year at I guess they call them blue shirts now. Blue shirts, red shirts, gray shirts. Who gives a shit shirt? I mean, it's there are too many guys.
Tie-dye shirt.
No, what the hell?
Well, the gray shirts enroll in January. The blue shirts you kind of defer until or they enroll.
They roll into a fall camp, but you count them towards next season.
Right.
Next
they don't. Year. They don't actually. I take it.
You
back.
Can't
they don't
look at them, talk
school.
To them,
right.
Breathe at them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like they're still technically a commit.
Yeah. Yeah. Like an invisible person.
Yeah.
Walking around campus.
Ghost man on second. So we got 15 commits right now. We got a kicker, Colton McGee. Jalen Thornton's a defensive end. Donovan Beaver, offensive lineman. Now Doug Belk, who is our corners coach, and I don't know how much longer he's going to be here. Because he's a hell of a recruiter. He's got four guys out of
Georgia
right now. And he's the reason we flipped that guy from LSU.
Mm-hmm.
He's got Winston Wright, who's an athlete out of Georgia. We're probably going to play him at corner. Listen to this guy's name. Nick Troy Fortune. That's a DB. All his guys are – well, Jared Bartlett's a linebacker. Tony Mathis is a running back. I don't know if you've seen his highlights. He's a pretty good-sized guy, about 6 foot, 200 pounds.
Uh-huh.
He can fly, man.
Yeah.
That's a big recruit right there. All those guys are Doug Belk guys. Winston Wright's an athlete. He's going to play corner. We got Kerry Martin, a quarterback out of Capital, but we're going to play him on defense.
See, I had Winston Wright as a wide receiver.
Well, they got him listed as an athlete, but they said they're going to try him at corner or
good.
Or receiver.
Good, we can use some.
Tyke Smith's a DB. Osita Smith, he's an athlete. Yeah. They're probably going to play linebacker safety. Now, Parker Moore, who is an offensive lineman from Charlotte. We met him.
Yeah.
His younger brother actually goes to school with Jaina.
Mm-hmm.
Leslie's actually good friends with his parents. So, yeah, we met him at the Tennessee game. So that's a big recruit.
Was he committed somewhere else first?
Maryland,
yeah. He switched over. Mm-hmm. Good deal. Glad to have him aboard.
Now, Brandon Yates, the offensive lineman out of Vegas, he is actually visiting USC this weekend, but they still think that they're going to be able to hold on to his commitment. And then you got Taj Austin, who's a defensive end. Now, this week we had a big pickup, which was Drayshawn Miller, who's a DB, is a JUCO corner, was committed to LSU and flipped. Now, he's a big kid, too, for a corner, man. Mm-hmm. He's 6'2", 190. You don't see too many 6'2".
No, corners. But that we like, or at least Gibby likes big corners. I mean, look at Rasul Douglas. I mean, he likes big corners.
Well, God knows we need some corners.
Yeah, exactly. We'll go to that. We'll talk about a look ahead next year.
So, I think with him coming in as a JUCO, I'm hoping, and we'll get into the preview for next year a little bit down the line, I'm hoping if he can come into the fold and make an impact and even compete, maybe start, we could start putting some of these guys we're playing corner at safety where they belong.
Yeah, well, Norwood needs. I mean, we put Norwood on the field because he was one of our best defenders. I mean, you got to get him on the field somewhere.
Right.
We put him at corner.
Yeah.
And for a safety playing corner, he did pretty good.
He did.
But he would be a great safety.
I agree.
Him and Pitts.
I agree. Then you got Terrence Dawson, who's that wide receiver we picked up, which was good because we lost Isaiah Hazel. He was a wide receiver.
Well, we didn't lose him. We pulled the scholarship.
Well, there's conflicting reports. Yeah. Mike Locksley, who was on Alabama staff, took over from Maryland. He's going to be their head coach, and he's about as shady as it gets.
Yes.
And evidently, Hazel, I guess they were sitting on this story. They were trying to kind of play it close to the vest. I guess on his recruiting visit, I don't know what he did, but he did something that was like conduct unbecoming.
Exactly. It was it wasn't even like somebody tweeted it on, but put it out on Twitter. It was like it was improper conduct on his visit. So we pulled his scholarship.
So we basically pulled his scholarship, and then Maryland picked him up. And from what I can tell, the Maryland people aren't too excited about it either.
Yeah.
So, which is fine. So we'll see.
I'm not ever worried about us recruiting wide receivers.
No, I'm not either.
That's one thing that doesn't concern me at all.
Now, one kind of downside a little bit, which, I mean, people that follow recruiting, this is, I mean, again, you're dealing with 17, 18-year-old kids. This is what you run into is you have guys that decommit. And part of the problem that's a little bit concerning to me, from what I can tell, Dwayne Grantham from Martinsburg, the linebacker, he was committed for probably 6, 7, 8 months. And I guess we backed off of him because we wanted to maybe pursue some higher talented guys. Okay. Amir Richardson, the guy from Morgantown, we talked about that. He wanted to play receiver. We told him we were stocked at receiver, and basically he was going to probably play defense, but he probably wasn't good enough to be there either.
Yeah.
Which I don't like that, man. Especially two guys in state.
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's really.
And I guess the thing of it is if you feel that way about those guys, or if you feel like they're kind of, they may be able to help you, but you're not sure if they're going to be Big 12 players. I kind of feel like maybe you shouldn't really offer them that early, because when you offer them early and then you're like, oh, we might be able to get somebody better than you, and then you pull out, not only does it send a bad message to those guys, it pisses off the schools.
Yeah, that's the thing. It pisses off the schools. And from what I understand, like it kind of surprised our coach staff the interest we got from a lot of people that we didn't think we'd be get interest in. So now
all of a sudden they're like, oh, shit.
Like, we offered too many people, and now with the new rule where it's all hard, you can't move people around as much as you used to, that it's getting tougher and tougher, and so you're going to have these hard conversations and probably piss some schools off.
Yeah, I don't.
It sucks.
I hate that, especially when it happens to in-state schools, because let's face it. Now, there's been an uptick in in-state talent the last 5 years.
Oh, yeah. Well, why don't we see – how many people will we say we're going to start defense next year?
All three of our defensive linemen.
Yeah, from West Virginia.
So, I mean, there's been a huge
uptick. Oh, wait, speaking of, did you see where Darius Steele's hit somebody with a car?
He didn't clean his windshield
off. Yeah.
We've all been there, first of all. And second of all, hey, girl crossing the street, there's a car coming.
Well, it is Morgantown. Did you ever stop for a car?
No.
No, exactly.
Well, because in front of the mountain layer, you got right away, man. You got the right away. But, yeah, I hate that those in-state kids, man.
I just think it does suck. It really does suck.
Sends a bad man. Then Lee Capoga, I can't pronounce his name, linebacker, was committed to us. Now he's going to Syracuse. And then those two receivers.
Well, I don't blame anybody. The linebacker, we got a couple of them in this class, but If you look at our
you're not
going to
play
year, I mean, with
the,
that,
the 42 guys we had hurt last year all coming
exactly,
back.
And that one kid, the Cohen kid, is that his name?
Vondarius Cohen from Alabama.
Yeah, Cohen.
That's your starting middle linebacker.
I mean, he's either going to, if David Long goes pro, he's going to start David Long's spot, or if David Long stays, he's going to be the Sam linebacker. And look out, because they said he is a beast.
Yeah, he's 6'4", 230.
He's an absolute beast. Yeah. I mean, but he counts in this year's recruiting class. Yeah. You got those two. I got my depth sheet here for next year's linebacker.
Well, do you want to do that now? Or you want to finish the rest of this?
Let's go ahead and finish that, then we'll talk about next year.
So Stoudemire and Ladarius Henry, the two receivers we had and we lost. We talked about them. Now this weekend is a pretty good, decent weekend as far as recruiting goes. We got that Allie Jennings kid from Virginia,
who's basically
committed but hasn't actually come out and committed.
I already just want to make a big deal out of it.
Yeah, so he'll be there this weekend. And then Tavian Mayo. Another guy out of Georgia, Doug Belk's on him. Ashim Young is a safety. He actually was a Penn State commit, but he's leaning towards us now. And there's another DB out of Georgia, Jamal Starks. Now, the wild cards is the big one that they really want is that Marlon Devonshire out of Alquippa, which is the same school that produced Drayvon Askew-Henry and Quantel Reigns, who redshirted this year. He played two games, but he'll be a freshman next year. So you got those guys in the fold. They're all visiting this weekend. And then the big news is the two offensive linemen from the Huntington Cabell County area, which would be Doug Nestor from Spring Valley, who was Ohio State commit, had us in his top five, and Darnell Wright, who's actually the second rated tackle in the country from Huntington. And supposedly, Doug Nestor has backed off his Ohio State commitment.
That's what I heard.
And we're back in the mix with him and possibly back in the mix with Darnell Wright.
Yeah.
That would be huge.
That'd be huge. And I heard that our recruiting philosophy has changed when it comes to recruiting offensive linemen. We used to try to pick people for spots, but now we're just taking the best offensive linemen and then we'll find where they can fit.
Yeah.
We'll just take, if you're a great tackle, then if we need you to play guard, we'll put you to guard.
Yeah. And that's fine, man.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, because let's face it, there's been, the last 5 years, there's been, I can think of probably 8, 9 Division I offensive lineman prospects in the state of West Virginia. And we have not had good success getting those guys. So if we could even get one or both of those guys, or even, like I said, even one of them, that'd be fantastic. So we'll see what happens with that. So that's kind of the recruiting roundup a little bit. Like I said, early signing period is next Wednesday, and now we'll talk a little bit about next year's team.
Yeah. And the reason why I've sent you a text and I want to kind of talk about it, because I really think we're underrated for next year.
We might be.
I mean, because what's the core of a good football team? A good offensive line, a good defensive line. Look at our offensive line next year. Offensive line has Colt McKevitz, Matt Jones, but still, he's going to be a full-year starter under his belt. Kobe Wickline, Josh Seals, one of the Brown brothers. You got Chase Burnt, Jake Bruce-Ogosi is going to be better. Then you got our backups and Tyler Thurman. I don't know anything about really Azuba, Mays, and Scott. But we are deep in our offensive line. Mm-hmm. When have we ever been that deep?
We haven't been.
I mean, that's going to be a solid offensive line next year.
Deep at running back.
And we're deep. We got four running backs. We got a fifth one coming in. It's going to be good. And then we have our defensive line, if I can find it here, is pretty good too.
All from the state of West Virginia.
Yeah, you got Reese Donahue. You got Darius and Dante Steeles. You got Jeffrey Poehler. I mean, you've been
James Mittner,
which is trying to say that name and looking at it. Yeah. You can't look at it and say it.
He's a big dude, man. He's going to be a nose tackle.
And we're probably going to get a graduate transfer or two again this year. Those are two good cores to start off with. Your receivers are going to be talented. You got Marcus Sims coming back and T.J. Simmons. I know everybody's mad about T.J. Simmons. But he's going to be good. Tevin Bush.
Sam James. Bryce
Wheaton. And people forget about Dylan Spaulding.
He got hurt.
Yeah, and he was a good big recruit. Bryce Wheaton is huge. I mean, like I said, our running backs are good. Our tight ends are going to be solid.
Javonte
with
Haskins
and T.J. Banks, they said, has been tearing up practices. Our linebacker.
Is it Mike McLaughlin, I think, is another tight end we got.
Yes, Mike O'Loughlin. Yeah. And then look at our linebackers if David Long comes back. David Long and Darius Cohen might be our two best linebackers ever if Cohen lives up to what he's But and that's saying something. We had some good linebackers mm-hmm. come through here. And that doesn't include Dylan Tonkery, Charlie Benton, Kondarius Qualls, Josh Chandler.
Brendan Ferns.
Zach Sandwich. I mean, Brendan Ferns.
Hensley.
X-Ray Lee. We, if I was a linebacker, I wouldn't come here.
You know who you didn't even mention? Javonte Stewart, who started all year.
Yeah, exactly. And then you go to our safeties. Javonte Stewart, Devontae Lindsey, Kenny Robinson, Derek Pitts, Sean Mahone, Quentin Reigns.
Here's let me run this by you. See what you
the
think.
The only thing I'm worried about is corner.
Here's what I'm thinking. I think Norwood has got a Carl Joseph feel to him. Put him at free safety. Put Kenny Robinson at spur.
I agree with that. I agree.
Because his spur has got to be your best, and I think he'd be better around the ball.
I do too.
Put Derek Pitts at Bandit or split time with him and Stewart, and then roll the dice with the corner.
Exactly. Well, hopefully that Miller pans out, and then you got Washington, who was, he wasn't great, but he was serviceable. Mm-hmm. I think he's serviceable. And then you got Bailey and Adams and Long, but hopefully if Miller pans out and we get one or two more guys to compete there, you got something on defense. And this is why I think we're underscoring next year. We start off with James Madison, which should win. Mm-hmm. Then we have Missouri, new quarterback.
Kelly Bryant, though.
You bet. Yeah, but who our coaches said wasn't good enough to come to WVU.
That's true. I hope that pans out.
NC State, new quarterback. Kansas Jayhawks, new coach, and probably new quarterback. Then we got Texas, Longhorns, and Iowa State. Oklahoma Sooners, new quarterback. Then Baylor, Texas Tech.
Think it matters who Oklahoma has at quarterback?
You know what? They had two Heisman winners in a row, maybe. If they don't have a Heisman winner, maybe not. It may be a difference. If they get an average quarterback, who knows?
How many times we beat them since we've been in the Big 12?
Well, next year's might be the year. Who knows? We'll find out.
We keep saying next year.
Yeah. It's like the Chicago Cubs would be until they won the World Series.
Jesus, God.
And Texas Tech, new coach. Kansas State, new coach. Oklahoma State, new quarterback. TCU, their quarterback just decided he was going to transfer. I mean, that's eight of our teams we play next year either has a new coach or a new quarterback.
We got five league road games next year. Eight and four is doable next year.
8-4 is easily doable next year.
It's doable.
Yeah. So, I mean, look out. I'm just not.
Hey, when Tennessee had
Peyton If 8-4 is doable, 10-2 is doable.
When Tennessee had Peyton Manning his senior year, mm-hmm. you know what they did the next year?
But,
won the national championship.
Oklahoma had Baker Mayfield. What did they do? They replaced him with Kyler Murray.
They set the record for offense.
So who knows what we can do with Jack Allison next year. I'm just saying, next year, people shouldn't poo-poo next year too early.
Are we talking playoffs? Playoffs?
I'm saying, I'm building up the hype early.
You're not saying, you're just
saying. If Jack Allison or Trey Lowe has a big game against Syracuse, let the hype train begin.
Mm.
I'm just saying, now.
You can be the conductor on that
all
train.
All right. Well, speaking of hype train, let's take a break here. And we'll discuss us beating Pitt. Which
I need another 40, or deuce, anyway.
We'll get that here in a second.
All right, welcome back to One More. I'm Going Home, Going to Bed. I'm going to pour a little bit more out there. There you go.
Greer's gone.
Greer's gone. Talk a little basketball now. We are 6-3 after that slugfest with Pitt, which, by the way.
It was fun. It was nice to have a. It kind of felt like a rivalry game again with all the
fouls. I loved it. Yeah. I loved it because it was so nice to actually watch a game when I'm thinking, I hate these sons of bitches.
Yeah, all new players, all new cast, still can't stand them.
I can't stand them. It's been 6 years since we played. And let me tell you something else. There you go. Watching that on TV, listening to the Eat Shit Pit cheer.
Yes.
That is the best chant in sports.
It really is.
The Eat Shit Pit cheer is the best chant in sports.
Even national commentators on Twitter were like, they need to probably mute the crowd.
No, hell no. God, I was sitting here, I was yelling at the TV. Jana shut her door. She's like, Dad, calm down. Oh, that was great.
They're a bunch of assholes. They were assholes before the game.
I know.
During the game after the game.
It's Pit.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Pitt.
This son of a bitches.
So we pulled it out.
That game was ugly.
Oh, my God, was it ugly.
99 combined personal fouls
and turnovers. 99.
That's ugly.
And Sags wasn't even supposed to play.
No. Early in the week,
I'm
wasn't
glad
going to
he
play.
Did. He had 16 points, 9 boards, and set the school record for blocks.
Remind me of the Sags of old. I mean, that's the Sags we wanted from last year. He doesn't need to be standing at a three-point line. He needs to be underneath the rim, getting off his rebounds, blocking shots on defense.
That's what he's good at.
No, I mean, I'm fine with him when a play breaks down, you get the ball outside. I'm fine with him at the foul line in the middle of a zone. Because Right now, our zone offense is terrible, which is weird to me because all zone offense has usually been pretty good in past years. Mm-hmm. But right now, it's awful because we're not getting the ball in the middle because Konate wants to fan out of the three-point line. But he finally, he was early,
he was on the wing. Uh-huh. He missed a couple shots. He got back on the block, and he reminded people why
exactly
he got as much attention.
He got dunked on.
He did.
And I think that kind of spurred him. Because I don't think he expected. But here's the thing. He tried to do the same thing where he lined up. He tried to size him up. And go up. And he stopped doing that and started doing his two-handed, I'll get in your way, then I see which hand you're going with, I adjust. And when he did that, he's the Konate that is a school record.
And those pick guys, I mean, the definition of insanity is doing the same shit over and over again, expecting different results. They kept bringing the ball in there, and that one guy, I can't remember what the guard's name was. I know Xavier Johnson. Yeah. We'll talk about him in a second. That one guy came in there, and he just jumped up with two hands and just took the ball.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Just took it. He was like, oh, I'll take that. Awesome. You're done with this. I'll take it. But that Xavier Johnson, did you see what he said after the game?
They just foul all the time.
He said it's not a rivalry. And then he said, whatever that guy's name is, Konate. And then he acted like he didn't know who he was and spent the rest of the interview talking about Konate.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah, typical guard asshole. That's a break. Jesus, God. Our defense, I will say this. Now, by no means do I think Pitt is an offensive juggernaut.
No.
But I thought our defense was better. Our press was actually a little bit effective.
And this is what I thought we would be because we were really active. And when we're really active, we're really long.
Yeah.
I mean, so we can cause havoc. We just don't put the effort into it. And that's why it was nice to see that much spirited. And it started right from the beginning.
Right from the jump.
I mean, Bull and Diamond on the floor. I mean, it was really like an old Big East game.
It did.
I mean, that was now. I'll reserve judgment to say Press Virginia is back.
I'm not going
to
say
until
that.
We have a couple games in a row
I'm not ready to say
but
that.
But it was good to see.
The problem is you couldn't enjoy the fact that we forced 24 turnovers because we committed 26.
Listen to this. I got this from Tony's take this week, Tony Caridis. He said, the 26 turnovers, not only the season high, but we are in a position where Bob Huggins' team has never gone. Through nine games, we're averaging 16 turnovers a game.
That's bad.
Which is more than any other team in Huggins' WU's tenure.
Bad.
That is awful. Hey. This stat is what got me. Listen to this. Through nine games, we've taken just 13 more shots than our opponents. Last season, at this time through nine games, we had taken 129 more shots than our opponents.
Because we're not a good rebound.
Yeah, that's an 892% decrease. Wow. Not only because we're not getting rebounds, but we're also not creating the turnovers, or we're turning the ball over just as much.
Because you know we're not shooting him.
No, well. Exactly. But that is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's bad.
I mean, it's unbelievable that stat.
That's bad. Well, speaking of turnovers, and I'm going to jump out of order here. I know our backcourt's young. I know Napper's, making some mistakes. And I think you and I talked about this via text during the game. The one thing, and I defend Huggins, and I have to defend Huggins all the time at work. Tom Booth, Huggins didn't wave at him in Kroger 10 years ago. Booth still hates him.
He has some dirty pictures of Tom or something.
Oh, shit. I told Booth, I said, Booth, Huggins could take us to the Final Four this year, and you would bitch about what he wore in the Elite Eight game. But one thing
I don't... Tash complains about his outfits.
Oh, my God.
I was like, he's a big guy. What do you want to do?
Yeah. One thing I don't understand is those guys, young guys come in, throw the ball around, they come out of the game. Ahmad, seven turnovers.
Seven.
It doesn't come out of the game.
No, seven. Seven turnovers. Him, Wes Harris, three turnovers. I mean, Chase Harler, three turnovers. This is Bolden, four turnovers. Those aren't our freshmen. Those are our upperclassmen.
And was the pass that Beadle threw to Ahmad that hit him in the face not a microcosm?
Oh.
That was a microcosm of his career.
Yes.
Hit him right in the face.
I found out the guy takes it. You guys think they should make a gif out of that.
Oh, my God.
Just share it.
Yes.
We played two major opponents, high major opponents, Florida and Pitt. You know how many turnovers we've had total?
Probably 40.
47.
Yeah.
47. We have the two highest turnover games of any team in the Big 12 so far this year.
Awesome.
Between Pitt and the West Kentucky, we had 24, I think, is West Kentucky.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's not good.
No.
We're averaging 16 turnovers a game. We haven't even started a conference play yet.
See, and the bad part about that is if you're turning the ball over a lot, and you're not rebounding the ball well, you don't have any advantage.
No, no. Let's face it, we're not a great shooting team.
We've never been a great shooting team.
So we
take great shooters and turn them into...
Our whole thing has been getting more shots on the teams. If we're not getting more shots on the teams, we're going to be average. Mm. So, I was encouraged by our defense last game.
But we're...
Discouraged by our offense. Yeah. But...
Let me ask you this
It's
still
question. Better than we've been all year.
Do you think... Is Haley going to be the long-term answer at point?
I think he's going to get more time than Napper. I think they're going to play a lot of Boulder
especially
at the two.
Especially against the zone.
And if Boulder gets a foul trouble, they'll play Harler at the two. But I think, yeah, I think Haley's going to be...
Beadle needs to be at the two, man.
I mean, Beadle is a two. He's not a point. He's just not a point guard. We're trying to shoot him into
We're trying to pigeonhole him into it.
Yeah, and he's just not a point guard. I mean, I love him. He plays hard.
Oh, he plays hard.
I mean, he plays with passion. But he's just not a point guard. No. To tell you the truth, neither was Javon Carter.
No.
He wasn't a point guard. I mean... He couldn't dribble traffic to save his life.
No, he couldn't.
I love him to death because he's got the quickest hands I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But he was not a point guard either. We thought Napper would be that. But Napper, he still makes some of the dumbest decisions.
I think eventually, because he's probably the only guy on the team, well, that I've seen that can get to the basket.
Exactly. I like him. And I told you this during the game. I think eventually he could turn to a Juwan State.
That's a good comparison.
I think because he's got the build for it.
Yeah.
He's got a nice little jumper off
he's
the curl.
Got, he's got a pretty shot.
Yeah,
man.
If he just would quit throwing the
Stop
ball away.
Throwing the ball to the other team.
He plays decent defense. Yep. If he would just quit throwing the ball away, he'd be okay.
And I think we talked about this too. Huggins is going to start shortening that bench.
Yeah, I mean, it always showed.
Because McCabe didn't play at all.
And he just said there's no room for four guards.
Gordon played 1 minute.
Yeah, in the second half. I mean –
Matthews played 5 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it's to the point now where Huggins knows we got to win.
Now, one thing that did bother me, and I love him. I love the kids from the state. Harler played 26 minutes, Josh. He had no rebounds, no assists, 3 turnovers, and 4 points.
And I listened to three guys before the game. Well, Monday it's the podcast with Tony Creedy and Brad Howe.
And usually Hoppy,
but this time they had Nate Adrian on there. And he's talking about how Chase Harler is our hardest player. And that's great. That's fantastic.
Just because you play hard doesn't mean you play good.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I don't understand. I understand we're struggling to find, you know, some sort of chemistry and stuff. And we don't have a lot of people know where they're going. But if you're playing, you got to be productive.
You got to do something.
If you're not being productive, then you're not doing this any good.
No. Speaking of not being productive, what the hell happened to Lamont West?
Man, he's a streaker shooter. I mean, he has a pretty shot,
but when he's not making shots,
he's
useless.
Gives
you nothing else.
Nothing else.
He can't dribble. He can't rebound. He can't play defense.
No. But he's a top. He's a first round NBA pick on that one website.
That website needs reevaluated because I don't get that at all. Shit.
Yeah. I don't know. But we did get some good news this week.
Culver's coming back.
That's the rumor.
Tomorrow.
I'll believe it when I see it.
I heard he's going to be reinstated tomorrow. Now, I don't think he'll play Sunday because Huggins doesn't play guys that don't practice.
Yeah.
So, I don't think he'll play. But from what I've seen and heard and this and that, and you and I have talked about this ad nauseum on here, is that he has, and I guess his mom has gotten involved, and she's been on board with Huggins' discipline of him. And
good.
I guess it had nothing to do with the classroom. I guess he's in good shape in the classroom. It's just all been attitude and this and that. But supposedly, he's going to be back with the team.
Well, that'd be good. Because, let's face it, you've said, last week when Conte had to go out, we replaced him with Logan Brown, which I love. I love Logan Brown, but he is what he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a 6'10 guy from Grand River, West Virginia, who plays hard, but sometimes gets outmatched, just like Chase Harler.
He does.
And then got Andrew Gordon, who I love too.
He has good energy.
But
he's only been playing basketball
for
3 years.
Sometimes he's like, what are you thinking, man? What are you doing? So, yes, it would help us in those situations to have an actual center who could come in who could give you some, should give you some good minutes.
And the other good thing about that is I'm hoping that he takes some of Ahmad's minutes away.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen because Huggins.
I mean, it took us 3 years to figure out Ahmad can't dribble. So.
Well, but he as Freddie Ferry would say, he can't dribble, but he makes up for it by not being able to pass.
Yeah.
And if I had to hear Fran Fraschilla say one more time,
oh my God,
what a great passer Ahmad was, I was going to throw my TV out the window. Jana said, Dad, why are you yelling at that guy that's commentating? I said, did you hear what he said?
The guy who made 7 turnovers.
Yeah, he's like, oh, you got to get the ball to the ball. He's a great passer.
And that's why we struggle against the zone, because you used to be able to throw the ball to Nathan Adrian or somebody in the middle there who could do something with it at the foul line. If Ahmad doesn't take a shot, he can't do anything with it.
He can't do
it. He can't pass it. He can't dribble around anybody.
He can't.
Oh, it's miserable.
I keep waiting on that light to go off, but I don't think that light bulb's going off. No. So we got Rhode Island Sunday. They're 4-3. I don't really know anything about them, but
nah, we should.
I know we should. We should win that. We should win the next two. We got Jacksonville State and Lehigh, and then going into Big 12 play. I know you're curious about this. We have moved up to 101 in the net rankings. You excited about that?
Super excited. Yeah, 101.
We're getting close to
there's
getting
a good bar in Charleston. Bar 101.
We're getting real.
We actually went there after the 2010 Biggie Championship.
I wish I could say I remember that, but
me, you, George Gannon, we kept yelling Biggie's champs. I don't remember it.
Was Bill there? Bill was there, wasn't he?
I think Bill was there.
He was there.
Bill was there. Amy Spadafore gave us a ride home. We were not sober at all. We kept yelling Biggie's champs every time somebody would say anything to us. We just go Biggie's champs.
Yeah. Yeah, we were those guys.
We were those guys.
Yeah.
I still don't know why we watched that game in Charleston at George's house.
I don't either.
That's weird.
Who made that
call? I have no idea. But we did. Yeah. It was a good time.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Good story.
Great
story.
We
can't say it all on the podcast.
Well, that could be said for a lot of our stories. Could be said for a lot of our stories. So, basketball is a work in progress. Well,
yeah, I feel a lot better about it today than I did this time last week, but it's still wait and see.
It damn feels good to beat Pitt.
It does. If anything, at least we beat Pitt. Mm. That's exactly right. Eat shit, Pitt.
So you want to talk a little bit about the ratings, downloads, and
we crossed a milestone this week. We crossed over 1,000 downloads. Which I think is pretty happy for our little podcast here. Mm-hmm.
Appreciate you guys.
We do. We appreciate you downloading it, because we think we got a lot more listeners who just don't download it. Mm-hmm. Because I guess some people have problems with Podbeam or iTunes. But yeah, I think it's pretty good. I think the most amazing stat was we have 20 different states. People listen to us in 20 different states and about 8 different countries, including Estonia.
Wow.
I love the fact that we have somebody listen to us in Estonia.
How about that?
There's a great story of Bill Pennington, which if people know Bill Pennington, you should.
You're missing out.
But we went to George and Amy's wedding, and Amy's fiance was from, she was living in, I don't want to say Albania.
Amy's fiance.
I'm sorry, Amy's maid of honor.
I was going to say, how'd George feel about that?
George wouldn't care.
I can't imagine George was on board with that.
I want to say Albania, but I could have the country wrong. But it was one of those obscure countries over there in Europe. And so she's introduced herself, and I'm like, where you live? And she's like, I live in Albania. And she just said that to Bill. And Bill says, well, I'm glad someone does. Because he said, I live in Albania. He's like, I'm glad someone does. Yeah. That's how he greeted her. Right. I'm glad someone does.
Bill should write Hallmark cards.
It's not Albania. George will tell me what to correct it next weekend, what country it was. But I've never laughed so hard in my life. I literally had to leave the room. I was laughing so hard. Bill, I'm glad someone does.
Bill's good at that.
Yes.
He's good at that. So.
So we're thanking you guys. If you listen to the show, please download. That's how we know we're out there. We still haven't had music or commercials and stuff yet, because let's face it, we're lazy.
Yeah.
And
some of us are a little more technologically savvy than others. And I would not fall into that category.
Actually, what I need to do is start taking, after we record, take the laptop home, add all that stuff, and then bring your laptop back to you. Since you leave the laptop here, I just forget about it.
That's fine.
We just go listen to it. But so, anyway, it's been good. It's been fun.
It has.
Even without everybody listening, it's been fun. Because this is what me and you do anyway.
It is.
We decided to just put it on tape.
We appreciate you guys listening. So,
absolutely.
Then
as long as not, we're doing it all year.
Yeah.
To my girlfriend's chagrin.
Yeah, she loves it. Tash loves it. So this time next week, Garrett will be back.
Yes, I'm excited to see Garrett. I can't wait to hear some stories.
Yeah.
This is going to be fun. We'll have to go out and grab a drink sometime.
Yeah, he said, that's what the last letter he wrote me. He said, I can't wait to come back and have a cold-ass beer.
Nice. Nice.
I said, well, I have a sneaky suspicion we can arrange
that. We might have him give a little guest appearance on the podcast next week, maybe.
He might.
We might record it Thursday. Well, we'll see when we record.
I have to let Jana do it, too, because if I let Garrett get on her
phone. Oh, yeah, she's going to be one of
them. She's not going to be happy about that. Because Jana's not shy about letting me know how she feels at all. So you got anything else you want to add, buddy?
No, I think we're good. Look forward to beating Rhode Island this weekend. And I got to do some shopping with the family on Saturday. So Lord, help me now. Say a little prayer for me.
Our Father who art in heaven.
There you go. But yeah, man, we'll get together next week. We'll have play Garrett around. Be great.
Sounds good, man.
I mean, well, one more and I'm going home, going to bed.
One more and I'm going home, going to bed.